Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on poison drops in the federal Senate right after this. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, in our public institutions. We Americans have made them a part of our national psyche. You know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. Now, I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. And they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we receive for their observance. You know, every law has a penalty. Now, you don't have to know what the penalty to the law is in order to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this law the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our pre-general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. All right, we've been talking about public school here as it relates to Zach Montgomery, who wrote a book back in 1886, and he said, listen to this now. He said, public school causes criminality, poverty, insanity, suicide, violence, and unemployment, which is precisely what we see today, criminality, poverty, insanity, suicide, violence, and unemployment in the first three or four programs I showed you from the statistics, that is the census statistics from 1850, 1860, 1870, and 1880, how Montgomery came to his conclusion. He said, now the solution to this is to go back to free enterprise, go back to what our founding fathers intended, and that is the responsibility for educating children belongs with the parents. Now, this touches what we call the doctrine of parens patre, parens patre. And back in the Middle Ages, back in Anglo-Saxon administration, going back, you know, to the 13th, 14th, 15th century under feudalism, under the doctrine of parens patre, the theory is that the state, that is the king, owns your child because the state owns you. And that under feudalism, the state has a duty to provide workers for the marketplace, which is precisely what we're doing today. See, we have this public school system because it's the state's duty to provide a workforce for IBM and Bill Gates. Well, that's feudalism. And I'm not sitting here arguing that feudalism's bad. I mean, hell, if that's what you want to buy, get into it. But I'm personally opposed to that, and I don't want to participate in it. And I want to see if I can get as far away from that as I can. I thought I'd share with you a couple other thoughts that maybe, if you're of such a mindset and you say to yourself, well, I'm not really sure that I want to participate in that program either, maybe you want to opt out. And so with the seventh program in the series, we need to have some practical solutions. You know, I always tell my students when they come in the door, I tell them, you know, if there's no solution to this problem, then you don't need to sit here and beat your gums talking about what the problem is. I mean, I listen to that kind of crap on politics and TV. They're talking about Goldman Sachs and talking about paper money, the Federal Reserve and the national debt. But hell, these people, they don't have any solutions. No avenue of escape here. You know, they're talking about the national debt. Well, it's just going to get bigger and bigger. You know, the national debt has an ultimate solution. It's called national bankruptcy. It happens all the time. It's about to happen to Greece. And when it happens to Greece, it's going to be traumatic. But the Greek people aren't all going to die overnight. Greece isn't going to be occupied by South Africans or Chinese, you know, the next morning. The Greeks will still stay right there in Greece. They'll have a little tougher road to hoe. They're going to be put on COD, and they're going to take a drastic cut in their standard of living. And, you know, if people can't do things, you know, by self-discipline, I mean, if you can't regulate and discipline yourself, well, then somebody will come in and do it for you at some point in time. And this public school thing, it has an ultimate end. It's going to collapse, is what it's going to do. Meanwhile, back on the farm, it's going to bankrupt you people over there. And so in the last program, I said, listen, there's a solution to this, and I showed you what it was. So I'm going to listen up again. I'm going to tell you one more time. Public education is a socialist, political, and union program for the benefit of the 3 million people that are in the public education system. It's just like the military-industrial complex. There are 3 or 4 million people in the world that directly benefit from the $700 billion a year that's being spent on national defense. And these people in education directly benefit from the $500 billion that's being spent on national education. Now, what we've discovered here is that homeschool costs about $500 a year, parochial school about $2,500 a year, and public school is $10,000 a year. So in the last program, I said, it's very simple. What you do is you just leave everything, leave the tax structure in place, you leave the bureaucracy right there in place, you enact one simple old statute. You take the money that's being spent on public education, and you stop spending it on public education, and you just give half of it to the parents directly. Don't write out any more checks for school superintendents. Fire them all. Don't write out any more checks for first and second and third grade teachers. Fire them all. And that nice lady in Washington, D.C. who's trying to reform the public schools, can her. Fire her. Don't need her. Instead, you just take the money and give it to the parents directly and say, it's your kid. Go educate him at public expense. And you can cut the bill from $500 billion a year to $250 billion overnight. You can cut the whole educational expense of America in half. Now, that isn't going to happen, and nobody's going to do that. So sit back and relax, you know, all you school teachers out there. Don't have a cardiac arrest here. That isn't going to happen. Common sense solutions to problems are never implemented by political authorities. Never, never, never. It's never happened in history. It ain't going to happen now, and ain't going to happen in the future. So relax. You're safe. And for all of you people out there that are paying the bills, well, you're just going to keep paying the bills, and it's going to get higher. Public education that now costs $10,000 a year is going to cost you $20,000. So just get ready for it. You know, bend over, get the Vaseline out. Here it comes. Now, some of us over here get tired of it, and we don't want to participate in it, so we're dropping out. And if you're one of those that wants to individually and personally just drop out, your family, you, your children, so on, you can do that. You're not going to reform Washington school, and I'm not here trying to get you to do that. But I just wanted to tell you, if you did that, you could solve that problem, and you could do it overnight. Now, Montgomery was being interviewed by a newspaper reporter, and the reporter asked this question, pretty good question. He said, suppose this plan of yours, Mr. Montgomery, were adopted. What disposition could be made of all of our public school property? Well, what are you going to do with all the public schools out there if you just can everybody in the morning, huh? Montgomery said, why, sir, without doubt, it would all be in immediate demand for educational purposes. You must remember that the same children who are now attending school, public school, would still have to be educated. And it's true, there would not be nearly as many of them studying the so-called higher branches. But what would be far better, thousands of children would be perfecting themselves in spelling, reading, writing, arithmetic, who are now neglecting these essential branches in order to get a mere smattering in drawing, music, and foreign languages. So if you're wondering why Johnny can't read, it's because he's spending his time learning how to lay the neighbor girl in the back of his Chevy van. You know, he's learning those social skills that everybody needs, like splitting lines of coke, you know, and smoking weed. So the reporter said, well, you will excuse me, Mr. Montgomery, but I do not yet see how, under your proposed plan, all of our public school grounds, houses, and furniture could be made available. All these are public property. While your plan would virtually turn over the great body of our children to private schools, and this, it seems to me, would necessarily leave our school property vacant. Mr. Montgomery replied, I was just going on to explain that under the plan suggested, private schools would be vastly multiplied, and in order to carry on these private schools, school grounds, school houses, school furniture would be necessary, so that the public school property could be easily rented or sold to private school educators, and inasmuch as the most competent and successful educators would get the most patronage, they are the persons who could afford to pay the highest prices for this public school property, and therefore, they're the ones who in the future would educate our children. And the reporter went on to ask, he said, and what disposition would you make of the funds arising from the rent or sale of our school property? Montgomery said, I'd have the rent of all this property or the interest on the money arising from the sale of it used to pay for educating in the proper English branches all the such children as could not otherwise get such an education. There are now upwards of $6 million worth of public school property belonging to the state, and there is scarcely a doubt but that the rent of this property or the interest upon its value would be nearly, if not quite sufficient, to give every child in the state whose parents are not able to educate it a far better education than can now be obtained under the present system by the annual expenditure of $3 million in addition to the use of this $6 million. Wait a minute. Hey, back off here a second. Hang on a second. This guy Montgomery now is getting off into the same bureaucracy that caused the problem to start with. With all due respect, Mr. Montgomery. And let's do this. Boys and girls, you could take a match and burn every school book, and every piece of furniture. Just destroy it all, get rid of it, and then leave it to the public schools over here, excuse me, the private schools, to buy their own or do their own thing or to replace it all. And we would still save 50%. Now listen to the numbers again, and let me tell you. Our problem here is we're not able to count. We've been in a public school for so long, we're unable to think. Now listen up. Today, in America, we're spending $500 billion. That's about a half a trillion. $500 billion a year on public education. And then it goes on year in, year out. 10 years from now, you're going to spend $5 trillion on public education, turning out the same dummies that you've always been turning out. All right, now watch this. I'm assuming that most of you people out there do not want the responsibility of educating your children. So I said, well, okay, you've already got George Gordon here paying taxes. I got to pay my property tax. And so I got to pay taxes on the Ludi school over here. So, and it costs me $10,000 a year to educate one kid over here in the Ludi school. Over here in Gainesville, there's a private Catholic school, and it costs $2,500 a year to educate the kid in that Catholic school. Down in Mountain Home, there's a Lutheran school. Over in other places, there are other schools. Here in my county, there's a bunch of different religious people, and the religious people don't want to send their kid over here to the local Catholic school. They're opposed to the public school, but they don't like the Catholic school either. So I said, look, wait a minute, wake up and smell the coffee here. Take the same amount of money. Just leave the taxes right where they're at. Don't change anything. Leave everything right where it's at. All right? And just change the law and do this. Instead of sending out checks to the public school teachers and administrators, fire them all. Just can them. Got that? Then take one half of the money that you're collecting from me and give it directly to the parent of the child. Or write it out and give it to the kid. And then let the parent decide where in hell they want to educate their kid. Maybe the parents will say, we would like to educate our kid in the Catholic school in Gainesville. We would like to educate our kid in the Lutheran school in Mountain Home. You can rest assured, boys and girls, that all of these private schools, whether they're Protestant or Catholic or Jewish or whatever, will want to get their hands on that money. And they will come in and they will buy the Ludi school. Some outfit, the Catholic Church or some private outfit, will buy the Ludi school from the government. Pay them cash money, so that they can use the furniture and the books and everything else there to educate kids over in that school. Now, there's a bunch of you people that like public school, right? Okay. Well, hell, why don't we just go ahead and keep some public school? All the people that want to send their kids to public school, keep the system going. But give all the parents the choice. Let the Mormons decide where they want to educate their kid. Now, if you Mormon people out there want to send your kid over here to the local public school at $10,700 a year, God love you, get after it. Get your checkbook out, pay your taxes, send your kid to public school. I don't care. It ain't going to offend me none. I got to pay the tax anyway. But here's what we're going to accomplish by doing this. A bunch of you people will want to educate your kid at home for $500 a year. You're getting a check for $5,000, and it'll cost you $500, and you can put $4,500 in your pocket at my expense. And it will save me half. In time, it will cut my property tax for schools in half, because we're not spending $10,000 to educate a kid in public school. We're spending $5,000. And you're going to educate your kid at home because you're a tightwad and a cheapskate and you want to make profit. You want to become the same kind of bureaucratic public entrepreneur that the public school teachers and public school administrators are today. What the hell difference does it make to me, the taxpayer, whether I'm paying my $10,000 a year, which is going to a bureaucratic entrepreneur, or it's going to you, Joe Sixpack, Sally Housewife, to educate your kid? It's costing me the same amount of money. What I'm hoping will happen over time, that since it only costs you $500 a year to educate your kid, now you're making $4,500 a year profit, so you can go out and stimulate the economy by spending money in the Battlefield Mall, then you might be able to put me back to work so that I can pay more taxes. But I think you're going to save me a lot of money in tax. In fact, it's only half as much. Now, I'm assuming that most of you people are lazy and don't want to educate your kid at home, because that's why you're sending him to public school anyway, because you're too damn lazy to educate your own kid and take on your own responsibility. So let's hire whoever in the hell you want to hire. But what we're going to do here, instead of having compulsory education in public school, we can have the same compulsory education. In fact, I'm not opposed to compulsory education. God Almighty himself is in favor of compulsory education. In fact, he demands it. I don't know if you people are aware of that or not, but God himself demands it. Let me show you this. In the Bible, there are about 7 statutes that deal with education. Here's the creator of the universe. He thought education was pretty important also. So in case you thought that this was a Bill Clinton initiative, let me straighten you out here. In Exodus 18, verse 20, he says, "And you shall teach them ordinances and laws, and you shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do." There's education, there's ordinances and laws, and there's work that has to be done. And then he gave Moses an instruction. He says, "I'm going to show you what to tell them." And the Eternal said to Moses, "You come up to me in the mountain and be there, and I will give you tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them." In Leviticus 10:11, "And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Eternal has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses, to teach when it's clean and unclean. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them." And he goes on and says, "And that they may teach their children." They, that is the people, may teach their children. This is a legal education. This is the beginning of education. God isn't opposed to arithmetic, writing, and science and geography. But he said the first thing you got to learn is law. You got to have a legal education. Otherwise, if you don't have a legal education, then the politicians, the bureaucrats, and the legal beagles are going to take advantage of you. And that's what's going on in America today. Because we don't have a legal education here as a nation. We have the lawyers working for Goldman Sachs who are raiding our treasury, and the politicians on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, that were voting into office, raping, robbing, and pillaging all of us at our expense and their profit. And it's because we don't have a legal education, and we don't understand what the hell these guys are doing to us. That's what our basic problem is. And then they've been dumbing us down. Charlotte Isherby wrote a book here some years back now, and it's called the Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, in which we're teaching children social skills rather than the hard skills of education, such as reading, writing, and arithmetic. And so Johnny can't read and Johnny can't count. And that's not being done by accident. And we're unable to think. And so when we come up to this education problem, you know, the problem isn't nearly as big as we thought it was. I don't have a problem with the IRS. I'm not complaining about the Federal Reserve. I'm not even complaining about public school. Hell, far be it from me to get in the way of the bureaucracy here or the people that want it. I'm not opposed to socialism. Hell, if you people want to practice socialism, that's fine. It's just that I don't want to practice it. And I'm not going to let you force it on me. So there's an alternative. The alternative is called the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandment model, which is what our forefathers adopted and followed in our Constitution, that's why they adopted 22 principles of the Ten Commandments and put in our federal Constitution. They were following the Ten Commandment model. And it worked pretty well, you know, until about the Civil War. And then right after the Civil War, we started on a different program, a democratic program. So we switched over from a Republican form of government to a democratic form of government. We followed that until 1933, and then we adopted a new program called the proletariat form. This is the communist form. And this communist form calls for free education for all children in public school. It's the 10th plank, and a central bank, the 5th plank, and a heavy progressive income tax, which is the 2nd plank. So we adopted a heavy progressive income tax to finance our public schools and put the central banks in control. Well, now the central banks are controlling our economy for their benefit. And I don't blame the central bankers for their entrepreneurial skills. I mean, come on. You know, a bank robber robs banks because that's where the money's at. And the bankers are in the banking business because that's where the money's at. Insurance agents and insurance people and executives are in the insurance business because that's where the money's at. And the money's there at the expense of the public. And it's better to take $1 from a million people than to try to take $1 million from one guy. A million people don't miss a dollar. And that money accumulates, and it shows up in the pockets of the people that are in the bureaucracy. And God love them, you know, they're just public entrepreneurs. Now, the public entrepreneurial spirit has now gone to a point where the public sector is making about twice as much as those of us that are in the private sector. And all of the people in the public sector are parasites who produce nothing and consume much. And now, you know, first of all, they used to make less than the private sector. And so then they said, well, we think that we should get parity. And so we got parity for them, and then they got to thinking, well, maybe we're more important than you private people, so we should have superiority, and so now they've got it. So now they're making twice as much as we are, but they don't produce anything. And the public schools now are consuming so much that you could turn this over to the private schools, educate all the kids in America in private school for half what it's costing us to educate them now in public school. And if you keep on with this public school, it's going to double again pretty shortly. It'll be four times as much, not double, but four times as much to educate a kid in public school as private school. And if that's what you people want to buy and pay for, hell, I'm not opposed to that. Some people spend their money burning up airplane gas, for crying out loud. That's about as dumb as you can get. I don't know how much money I spent burning up airplane gas. I had a lot of fun, and then I hope I have a lot of beautiful memories. But I could have spent my money on something more intelligent than carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide and fumes in the air. And I would contend that we could probably better use, oh, say, $250 billion a year. Now, let me throw another little idea out to you. We can kill two birds with one stone. See, we got a $14 trillion national debt. That's $14 trillion. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. Let me show you how to kill two birds with one stone. First of all, you straighten out the public education system by going back to the Ten Commandment model. You can cut the expense. Leave taxes right where they're at. Don't cut a dime's worth of tax. So all you Democrats, all you tax and spend socialists out there, God love you, I'm not suggesting that you let me have the money to spend. I want you to keep the money. But here's the way I think we can solve two problems. When America goes bankrupt, it's going to be a very traumatic experience for all of us, and it's going to be just as traumatic for you bureaucrats as it's going to be for us guys out here, you know, the bottom feeders down here at the bottom of the pool. And we could avoid that, and we could probably do it right now. I mean, if we get busy at it, we could probably avoid national bankruptcy, and we could solve this education thing at the same time. You let all the people of America decide where they want to educate their kids. Give them the $5,000 check each. Leave taxes right where they're at. Keep collecting the $500 billion a year. But now it only takes $250 billion a year to educate your kids. And the smart ones will educate them at home and put $4,500 in their pockets on top of that. So it'll be profitable for moms and dads to educate their children at home. You know, just take a mother, you know, that's got four kids and she educates them at home and it costs her $2,000 and she's getting paid $20, she'd net $18. That'd be a hell of a stimulus to the families of America. It wouldn't do a hell of a lot for Goldman Sachs or Bank of America. I'm not suggesting that it would, but it would do a hell of a lot for mom and dad. Now, you got $250 billion a year left over that we don't know what the hell to do with, right? We haven't got a clue as to what to do with it. So why don't we take that money and pay it on the national debt? It's a wild new idea, but I'm just throwing it out there for your consideration. Now you got this extra $250 billion a year, so let's do something with it. So let's reduce the national debt. Now, 250 is a quarter of a trillion. So every 4 years, you know, every time you elect a president, you will pay $1 trillion. So if we were to take $14 trillion times 4 years, it would pay the national debt off in 56 years. Now, we have to pay interest on the national debt, so it's growing. So it won't be paid off in 56 years, but it would be paid off in 75 years or something like that, wouldn't it? We could solve the problem of why Johnny can't read. We could put money in Joe Sixpack's pocket at home and pay off our national debt if we just straighten out the education problem, which is what God suggested that you do to start with. You never would have had this problem had you followed Deuteronomy 5, Deuteronomy 4, Leviticus 14, Leviticus 10, Deuteronomy 11. I mean, come on. Now, God went on to say, he said, now when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the eternal our God has commanded you? Then you shall say unto your son, we were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt. And the Lord our God brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Eternal showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all of his household, before our eyes. And he brought us up out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Eternal commanded us to do all these statutes, and to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all of these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. All right, now let's take a look at the application of this in pragmatic terms. We have here in the United States a great diversity, a great variety of religious people. There's a religious and irreligious and evolutionary people and all kinds of people out there. And all of them object to what's being taught in the public schools. I mean, there isn't anybody that's happy. If the Mormons are teaching in the public schools, then we're all bitching about the Mormon theology and how we don't like it. And if the Baptists are teaching, then the Mormons are complaining that they don't like it. And then all of the free thinkers and sodomites and lesbians and the other guys, they're complaining about Christians and morality that comes from the Ten Commandments and so on. Hell, there's nobody that's happy with the public school educational curriculum. And the way to solve that is to let everybody out there decide for themselves what it is that they want to teach their children. See how simple this is? I mean, it's almost like giving the airline captain a 45 to carry up in the cockpit to prevent hijacking. And when that was proposed, my God, the politicians just went berserk. I don't know much about airline safety, and I'm not an expert at it by any stretch of the imagination, but there's one little country in the world that's never had an airline hijacking. It's the Jews over in Israel. And I don't know what you think about Jews over in Israel, and maybe you hate their guts, but, you know, they're smart enough to figure out a way not to have their airline hijacked. And so every crew member in the cockpit of those LL airliners, they're all packing heat. Can you believe that? That's right. The pilot up there, he's armed and dangerous. And they've been doing that for quite a few years now, and they never had an airliner hijacked. Now, we Americans over here, we don't allow such things, and they hijack our airplanes all the time. So it costs $500 for a 1911 45 automatic. And you can prevent hijacking for $500. We Americans said, we're not going to do that, so we spend $37 billion a year on Homeland Security to do what the Jews do for $500. And you wonder why the Jews are in control of our economy? And with that, let me give you a mid-course reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by pre-arrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults in compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package, so be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, those of you that are online, have a computer, you can download that free general law CD package off of our archives page at georgegordon.org. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us directly, 417-273-4967. All right, let me give you the sources of information here that we're citing from. The first book that we're reviewing this week is called Poison Drops in the Federal Senate, written by Zach Montgomery back in 1886, published by Gibson Brothers. It was reprinted by St. Thomas Press, Post Office Box 35096, Houston, Texas, 77235. A little book, 138 pages, very simple proposition. The proposition is public schools cause crime, poverty, insanity, suicide, violence, and unemployment. Taken from the statistical analysis of the U.S. Senate from 1850, 60, 70, and 80. I started off the program and I showed you that it was exactly correct because in 1972 the U.S. Supreme Court came to the same conclusion in a case called Yoder versus Wisconsin. Do you remember that? Yoder versus Wisconsin? And that one was cited at 406 U.S. 205. 406 U.S. 205. So if you get that down, let me give you the third source of information here to prove our point. And that is a book written by David Barton, which is entitled America to Pray or Not to Pray, which deals with this very same issue, public school and morality. Morality and public school. David Barton, Wall Builder Press, Post Office Box 397, Aledo, Texas, A-L-E-D-O, Texas, 76008. Phone number down there is 817-441-6044. All right, now once more, get your pen out there, sharpen it on both ends. Wall Builder Press, P.O. Box 397, Aledo, Texas, A-L-E-D-O, Texas, 76008. Phone number is 817-441-6044. Now, last time I bought one of these, it was $12. I wear them out every once in a while. $12. Calling and asking if the price is the same. Probably 16 by now. All right, this other book over here, I haven't got a clue as to what the price is. It's called Poison Drops in the Federal Senate by Zach Montgomery. Now, when you're looking for these politically incorrect and popular books, then you're going to have to go to somebody that deals in them, and the company that does that is called Brave New Bookstore. This is the first place I like to go, bravenewbookstore.com. And their phone number is 512-480-2503. That's 512, area code, 480-2503. If you're down in Austin, Texas, they're located at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, very close to the University of Texas campus. When I was in the store, they said, well, the University of Texas is right over there, 2 blocks, so it's right close by. Austin, Texas, 78705. So that's Brave New Bookstore, 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas, 78705 for you down there in the Austin area. Online, it's bravenewbookstore.com. It's easy enough. Around the world, coast to coast and border to border, bravenewbookstore.com. Send an email and tell them looking for that book, Poison Drops in the Federal Senate, Zach Montgomery. Thank God if they'll find it. One more little clue for you. If you have a used bookstore around, which I have a couple, three of them here in Springfield, these guys are hooked up. I went into one of them the other day and he said, we are hooked up to 500,000 used bookstores worldwide. God, I was amazed. On the internet, 500,000 bookstores. Here's all you got to do. You walk into any used bookstore and you tell them, I'm looking for Poison Drops in the Federal Senate by Zach Montgomery, 1886. I mean, you can get an original. I'll bet you somebody out there's got one for sale that's autographed by Zach Montgomery. You'll have to pay for it, but published by Gibson Brothers Printers, 1886. And that's all you need. Poison Drops in the Federal Senate, the school question, Zach Montgomery, Gibson Brothers, 1886. I'll put it in the computer and find you a copy of it in Cape Town, South Africa. One time I was looking for a book, and that's where it came from, Cape Town, South Africa. Another time came from Long Beach, California. All right, now, you can get a copy of the book anytime you want. That's not a problem. You're going to have to look for it. And it's well worth the time, effort, and energy to do that. And I suggest that you do it. Now, when it comes to education, God himself, remember, is vitally interested in education. And the purpose for education is for political control. And God Almighty, the creator of the universe, wants political control of all of the people of Israel. And he didn't make any bones about it. Came right up front. He gave us the very first line. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. You're not to pledge allegiance to the United States of America, France, or Germany. You're to do that to me. And I want you to follow my law. Don't follow the law of the United States, France, and Germany. You follow my law. Now, there's another side to the story. See, the politicians come over and they say, no, don't do that. This God over here is bad news for you. And we think that you ought to pledge allegiance to the United States and go to public school here in the United States where we can control your political thinking and that we can profit from it. I mean, that's the purpose behind public education. It is mind control for the purposes of political control. Nothing more, nothing less. That's what the Russians do. It's what the Chinese do. It's what the Germans and French and Americans and Canadians and Australians and everybody else does. That's why you people down in Australia, first thing you learned when you were 6 years old, they sent you off to public school, and they taught you to stand up, face the flag, put your hand over your heart, and I pledge allegiance to the flag of Australia. Ain't that the way that works? That's the very first thing I did. First day in school, I got up there, and teacher, Mrs. Sorensen, she said, no, boys and girls, we all have to stand up and face the flag and put your hand over your heart and repeat after me. And so she taught us the pledge. She said, I pledge allegiance, and then I pledge allegiance to the flag, and then we'd all say to the flag, of the United States of America, and to the United States of America. And we did that every single day. We went to school from first grade to 12th. And you see, then in that way, when somebody flies an airplane into one of your buildings, your political leaders can get up there and say, hey, we need to go to war. Get your butt down there and sign up, and let's go over here and let's deal with these people that knock our buildings down. And so they identified them with 20 Saudi Arabians, and so we went right to war with the Iraqis. I'm glad we got World War II straightened out. When the Japs attacked us, you know, at Pearl Harbor, I mean, if we were following president, we would have attacked Brazil back in 1941. If we'd have been doing what George Bush did, and I'm glad Roosevelt, you know, went to war with the right country. The Japs attacked us at Pearl Harbor, so we went to war against Japan. Now, when the Saudi Arabians attacked us in the trade towers, we went to war against Afghanistan and Iraq, instead of Saudi Arabia. Not quite sure why we did that, but I just wanted to point out that the people of America followed George Bush because it seemed like the thing to do. Now, 10 years later, we're not quite so sure that it was the right move. More and more Americans are starting to ask questions. Now, if we had had a legal education, which is what God himself decided that we should have, then you would have been taught in the Ten Commandments, and that's what our founding fathers had in mind. You see, all of our founding fathers were educated at home school or parochial school, didn't have any public schools to go to, and none of them went. We developed these public schools because over time, the people that were taking over the government and the agenda for America, Canada, Australia, and so on, wanted to convert us away from the Ten Commandment model and into the Ten Plank model. And they have succeeded beyond their wildest expectations. All Americans are practicing communists today. When we come into class here, first thing I ask, you know, I said, how many practicing communists do we have here? And I notice as the years have gone on, more and more students raise their hands. But in the early days, they used to look at me with a blank stare like, huh? What do you mean communists? We're all capitalists. We're all Americans. And then I'd say, well, did you send your kids to public school today? Yeah. Did you go to public school? Yeah. Got a public school in your town? Yeah. Got a central bank? Yeah. Do you people have checking accounts? Yeah. Do you people write checks? Yeah. Do you do business with banks? Yeah. That's central banking. And any of you people pay income tax? Yeah. Pay income tax to the state? Yeah. Pay income tax to the federal government? Yeah. Did you know that that's the second, fifth, and tenth planks of the Communist Manifesto? Why are you people practicing these three communist principles of income tax, central banking, and public education? What the hell is that all about? And they kind of look at you like, huh? Us? We? Yeah, well, isn't that normal? We know what everybody does? Well, of course, all communists practice public school, central banking, and progressive income tax. I don't deny it. I'm just asking the question, is it really good for us? And this week, we're looking at public schools, and Zach Montgomery said, not only isn't it good for us, it causes crime, poverty, insanity, suicide, violence, and unemployment. Is that really what you wanted? Because if it is, you've succeeded beyond your wildest expectations. Now listen, there's five things here that Americans want, buy, and can't live without. Number one is banking. Number two, insurance. Number three, public education. Number four, highway traffic enforcement. And number five, fire departments. No provision for any of these in our constitutions. But we have all adopted banking, insurance, public education, highway traffic enforcement, and fire departments because it seemed like the right and logical thing to do. But all of these endeavors cost us money, and they're all incident to insurance. Did you know that? Sure, think about it for a moment. Why do you have fire insurance on your house? Well, because the bank requires it because we've got a mortgage. Over time, where did you learn about this? Well, I learned about it in public school. And then they told us that we have to have FDIC insurance to insure our banking accounts. Well, you know, if you're going to have a bank account, having insurance on the bank account makes all the sense in the world. So I can see where that makes sense, why people would gravitate toward insurance, people with bank accounts. But let me ask this question. Why would you have a bank account? Is it because you're irresponsible and so ignorant that you can't manage your own money? Is that what your problem is? I used to be incompetent and unable to manage my own money, and I had to put it in the bank. I needed a guardian to take care of my money, so I put it in the bank. And then I grew up, and I got to be a big boy. And then I got to thinking, well, maybe I could take care of my own money. I know it was a wild new concept at the time. And so I started taking care of my own money. I haven't had a bank account now since 1981. Next year will be 30 years that little Georgie Gordon has been competent and able to manage his own money. But up until 1981, I couldn't. I had to have a guardian. Now, there's a fellow by the name of Josiah Stamp. I'm going to tell you a story here. Josiah Stamp was the president of the Bank of England. President of the Bank of England. Josiah Stamp. He was a banker. And in an informal talk to 150 University of Texas students back in 1927, here's what Josiah Stamp said. He said, quote, banking was conceived in iniquity and born in sin. Bankers own the world. Take it away from them, but leave them the power to create money. And with the flick of a pen, they will create enough money to buy it all back again. Did you hear that? Let me read that to you again. He said, bankers own the world. He said, take it away from them, but leave them the power to create money. And with the flick of a pen, they'll create enough money to buy it all back again. Now take this great power away from bankers, and all great fortunes like mine will disappear. And they ought to disappear, because this would be a better and a happier world to live in. But if you want to continue to be the slaves of bankers and pay the cost of your own slavery, then let them continue to create money. Now, this is what's going on here today. Here in the United States, we have the stimulus program. We're just creating this money right out of thin air. And the banks are creating it, and they're putting it out there, and they're buying and selling and trading and doing all the time. And they're making great profits. And they're doing it at our expense, and then we have to pay for all of this. See, they're putting it on the tab. And they've been doing this, you know, for, hell, 300-400 years. Probably 3,000 or 4,000 years. I mean, you could trace this banking back to ancient Babylon. That's where it got started with the gold smiths. But in more modern times, the Bank of England got this thing started in 1692 or 1694. In modern, you know, it's modern application. And if we want to continue to do this, we should continue doing business with the banks, and we should continue to do business with the insurance companies. But you know, God in the Bible prohibits insurance, prohibits banking. I don't know if you're aware of that. Turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 37 through 54, and here's what Jesus had to say about lawyers and preachers. Jesus, remember, threw the bankers out of the temple. You remember, that's what got him killed, you know, screwing around with the bankers. That's what John Kennedy did. He got to screwing around with the bankers, and they killed him. So, you know, you'd probably be safer doing business with the mafia. My brother is a drug dealer, and I asked him one time, I said, Jimmy, aren't you afraid you're going to get killed, you know, dealing with all these criminals out here dealing drugs? And he said, oh, no, no. He said, criminals have a code of honor. And I said, you're kidding me. No, no. He said, criminals all have a code of honor. He said, the only time that you hear of somebody getting killed in a drug deal is where the guy stole from the guy. He didn't deliver the drugs or he didn't deliver the money. He says, as long as you deliver the goods and you deliver the money, he said, oh, everything's fine. There's no problems. But you see, in a drug transaction that goes bad, that is, you didn't pay, you can't report that, you know, to the local police or to the Better Business Bureau. So they have to enforce it themselves, and they do. Well, same thing's true with the mafia. You know, the mafia is no problem. They got a code of honor. There's no problem doing business with the mafia until you screw one of them. And again, you know, the mafia can't go to the Better Business Bureau and file a complaint, so they have to take care of it themselves, and they do. Now, government works just like the mafia, and just like the drug cartels. And if you're going to do business with the government, you better not screw them. If you don't pay your income tax, then they're going to come after you. They're going to enforce it. Wouldn't it be better if we didn't do business with the government, we didn't do business with the drug cartels, and we didn't do business with the mafia? Those are three criminal enterprises, and they're all in opposition to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator of the universe, the creator of the world. This guy's got a different program, a different agenda. He's got an agenda called the Ten Commandments. He says, thou shalt not steal. Government's in the business of stealing. That's what we've been talking about this week. The public school system is a theft system. It promotes criminality. It teaches criminality. Wouldn't we be better off if we just stayed away from that? Why would we want to do business with banks, insurance companies, and public education, highway traffic enforcement, and fire departments? They're all criminal enterprises, and they're all derivative of insurance. The reason you have a fire department is because the bank wants to insure your house, and they want you to pay the premiums, because after all, you've got a mortgage, you didn't pay for it. So you're borrowing money and dealing in unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19:35 and 36. And you're doing the same thing with your car, and it has to be insured. It's the insurance companies that want highway traffic enforcement and fire departments. It's not you and I. Doesn't benefit us. Now, these criminal enterprises over here cost us money, and we have to pay for it, and they profit from it. Insurance, Goldman Sachs, politicians, they profit off of inducing us to participate in their criminal activities. Public school just happens to be that second plank to the Communist Manifesto, or the 10th plank, I should say. Hey, I'm out of time again. Gosh, just when you're having fun. Let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.